20. We'll be finishing up the chapter, Lord willing. This morning we'll be done Luke 20. We're just moving right along. Also, Philippians chapter 3, if you wouldn't mind. When you find Luke 20, then also in the New Testament, later on through there. If you can find Galatians or Ephesians or Colossians, then you're close to Philippians. And we remember those by go eat popcorn. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Go eat popcorn. That's how you remember. All right? So, amen. It's a good key to remembering that. Philippians chapter 3, and let's look first in Luke. Luke chapter 20. Luke chapter 20 and verse 45. Then, in the audience of all the people, he said unto his disciples, beware of the scribes, which desire to walk in long robes, and love greetings in the markets, and the highest seats in the synagogues, and the chief rooms at feasts, which devour widows' houses, and for a show make long prayers. The same shall receive greater damnation. And so the Lord Jesus Christ is saying in verse 46 to his disciples, with everybody there in front of everybody, beware, watch out. He's warning them. What's he warning them about? Verse 43. Till I make thine enemies thy footstool. Has Jesus Christ's enemies been yet made his footstool? No, but one day they will be. And what the Lord Jesus Christ is saying to his disciples, in the midst of all the people that are there, he's warning them about, listen, his enemies. These are the ones that wanted to get rid of Jesus Christ. These are the ones that wanted to have nothing to do with him. The enemies of God. The enemies of the Lord. Look back in chapter 19 and verse 47, and he taught daily in the temple. See that, chapter 19 and verse 47, he taught daily in the temple, but the chief priests and the scribes and the chief of the people sought what? To destroy him. Absolutely right. Verse 19 of chapter 20. And the chief priests and the scribes the same hour sought to lay hands on him, and they feared the people, for they perceived that he had spoken this parable against him. What was the parable about? Them wanting to kill and destroy Jesus Christ. And they watched him and sent forth spies, verse 20, which should feign themselves just men, that they might take hold of his words. Why? So they might deliver him under the power and authority of the governor. Aren't they good folks? Huh? You know what they're wanting to do? They're wanting to get rid of Jesus. They're wanting to take him out. Now, you got three main groups of people, brethren, in the world. You got the saved. You've got the lost. And then you've got the enemies of God. Amen. And there's a difference between the lost and the enemies of God. There's a lot of people that just don't believe in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. They've never been saved, but they're not an enemy. See? Now, the enemies of God, those are the ones, you know, that are pushing the liberal takeover and destruction of the United States of America. Amen? That's how you identify them. Those are the ones that are pushing to get God out of everything. There's plenty of people, they might not be Bible-believing Christians, but they don't mind if people celebrate Christmas. See? But you got other people, they don't want a mention of Jesus Christ, nothing, and nothing. You know why? They're more than just lost, they're enemies. They've taken a stand against Jesus Christ. There's a guy just quoted the other day saying that he just wished that all Christians would be killed so that the world would be a better place. Amen. That's their idea of a better world, is no Jesus, no Bible, no truth, no heaven. See? Like John Lennon used to say, imagine there's no heaven. Imagine there's no hell. Imagine you had a brain. That's just something to imagine. What is this? Imagine? No, the Bible's... Did Jesus say there's a heaven? Did Jesus say there's a hell? Then what do you think about some fruitcake getting up there and saying, imagine there isn't? Say, who is that? That's an enemy of Jesus Christ. And when you get more upset with the fact that I called him a fruitcake than the fact that he said that about Jesus, that lets me know where you stand. Amen. Now, it's going to sound like to some of you like I'm angry this morning. And I'm not. I'm not angry. But I am. I'm angry. I'm mad at the Lord's enemies. Amen. But if you're getting nervous about that, then you're the one that's got the problem. You know, I don't. It's like they say, if you rub the cat the wrong way, maybe you need to turn the cat around. Amen. So that may be the issue this morning. Amen. But I'm here today to let you know that what the Lord Jesus Christ is warning about here is his enemies. Look at how the Apostle Paul put it. Hold your place there in Luke. I hope you found Philippians chapter 3. And look with me there in Philippians chapter 3 real quick in verse 1. Finally, my brethren. Now, you can tell Paul's called to preach. He said, finally, my brethren. He gives you two more chapters. Amen. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same thing to you, to me indeed is not grievous, but for you it is safe. What's he saying? What's he wanting to write him about? What's he telling him? What's he warning him about? Verse 2, beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the concision. Who is he talking about? This same group. This same exact group. You know what he calls them? Dogs. I like that. Amen. Beware of dogs. Did you know that? How many people have you gone out on visitation and you see a sign? You see a scripture sign in their yard? That's the most popular scripture sign that there is in the United States of America. Beware of dogs. Amen. Now you got it now, see? So when you go to someone's house and you see that, you say, I didn't know you had a scripture sign in your yard. That's good. And they'll be like, what? And then you can show them that. And the Bible will be like, hey, and then you've got an open door. Amen. So anyway, help you out with that. Beware, the Lord said, of dogs. Jesus says, beware. Beware of your enemies, and he's describing these enemies to us here today. Now, with our current president, we understand who our enemies are in the United States of America. Amen? Who are our enemies? Well, it's no longer Iran. We can negotiate with them. It's no longer Russia or China. We can get along with them, negotiate with them. Who's the real enemies of America? It's those gun-toting Christian Tea Party people. That's the enemies. According to our president, that's the ones you've got to watch out for. That's the ones we have to have NSA tracking. Amen. Amen, amen. Something wrong with that, brethren. That ought to scare you. If you have any sense, it ought to scare you. You ought to be praying every day and asking God to protect us. Amen, amen. Got real quiet right there. I don't know why. I think that's good advice. Trying to let you beware of some enemies. You don't think Barack Obama is an enemy of Jesus Christ? You haven't heard what he said when he got on there and mocked the Bible and made fun of Christians that actually take the Bible literally? Our president, only president to ever do it. Huh? Yes, sir. Yes, sir. He's an enemy. You better look out. He doesn't have your best interest. He has his best interest at heart. He doesn't have yours. Amen, amen. How could you say that about a leader? Well, what did John the Baptist say about his? Cost him his head, but that's all right. Because he was speaking the truth, and he knew it. And I'll speak the truth when it comes to those things. He chose to fight. He's the one that started making fun of the Bible. I don't care who he is. He was a leader of this country. He comes in and starts mocking God and mocking this book. He's on my territory now. And he's going to get it back tenfold. Amen, 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 amen. Could I get an amen? Amen. Thank you. Amen. All right, now we can move on. Look again there with me in verse 46. And let's see what the Lord now has to say. Chapter 20, Luke 20 and verse 46. He's given us, brethren, he's given us the description of his enemies. Do you know who they are? Can you identify them? Jesus right here is letting you know how you can identify his enemies in the passage. Look at verse 46. Beware of the scribes which desire to walk in... long robes. Now, isn't that something? Did Jesus Christ say, judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment? But then you know what he's saying to do here? Judge according to the appearance. You got to judge people by what they wear. That Jesus said that, didn't he? He said you can know a lot about someone by what they wear. And you better watch these guys that go in these long flowing robes. You know, I'm always nervous. See, because what it is, that's what's on the inside will show itself eventually on the outside. And I'm kind of nervous about a fellow that walks around trying to dress like a girl and call himself father when he doesn't have any children and then messing with kids. There's something strange about that, don't you think? You think that's a friend of Jesus? You know what the Lord's letting you know? He's letting you know who his enemies are. Amen, amen. Guy sit up there with his long flowing robes and half grapefruit on his head and get down here and have you worship his ring? I don't think so. I don't think so. Say, what is that? You can tell a lot about somebody just by the way they dress. That's what Jesus said. You can tell what's on the inside by what comes out on the outside. They have the Hollywood crowd, and they always like to make their movies about Jesus. And whenever you see Jesus in one of these Hollywood movies, how do they make him out? Kind of this little soft, effeminate, long-fingered guy that if you cut him, he'd have to do 10 push-ups before he could start bleeding. You know what I mean? One of those little fairy kind of guys. And with the real long hair and the long robes and all. Listen, that Bible says when Jesus went in the crowd, you couldn't have spotted him out. In other words, if Jesus had been sitting here right now, we wouldn't know which one he was. He wouldn't stand out in the crowd. As a matter of fact, when his enemies came to arrest him in the Garden of Gethsemane, they had to have Judas go and kiss him so they could tell which one he was. So he wasn't walking around in flowing robes and all that stuff. As a matter of fact, he kind of made fun of that stuff. Hold your place there in Luke and look there in Matthew chapter 11. Notice what the Lord had to say about some of that stuff. And what the Lord's letting you know, brethren, listen, what you wear speaks. It speaks of you. What you wear says something about you. Don't get nervous. I'm just telling you what the Lord's showing you from the passage. You ought to be able to see that. It's not encoded. Look here in Matthew chapter 11 and verse 7. And as they departed, Jesus began to say unto the multitudes concerning John. He's talking about John the Baptist. What went you out in the wilderness to see? A reed shaken with the wind? But what went you out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they that wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. Right again, what's the Lord talking about? What someone's wearing. Did you notice that? Jesus Christ is concerned about what people wear, and he says, you better watch out. You know what he said one time? Watch out for those wolves that are wearing, sheep clothing. You know why they have to put religious garb on? To make themselves look like something they're not. That's why they do that. That's why they have their little uniforms and their little backward collars and their little special hats and their all their different robes and all their different colors and all that. Listen, you wouldn't walk around in the mall look like that. Would you? Then why are they doing that stuff? You see, the Lord said, you better watch out for that crowd. Say, who is that crowd? That's the crowd that killed Jesus Christ, and they'll kill you if they get a chance. And they've done it down through the centuries. And the fact that most people are ignorant of history, it's not my fault. But if you study history, you know anything about that stuff. The ones that were killing Bible-believing Christians down through the centuries was that crowd right there that came out of Rome. Amen. Sure did. And they took them out left and right. But boy, they look good. They got all the special religious attire on, you know. And listen, there's just as bad to have a false balance on that on the other side. Amen. And let me see this. Let me clarify this. If I would, please stay with me. I'm glad you're in church, and I'm not picking on anybody here at all. I'm glad you're here. I'd rather be in church than not be in church. Amen. But jeans and T-shirts are good for Friday night teen night. We okay? I'm not trying to be mean to anybody. I'm just saying, is there any level of when you go to church that you should dress differently? I don't think it's important what we wear. Really? Well, it was to Jesus Christ. He says that you can tell a lot about someone, but what they wear. Now, stay with me. Don't get upset. All I'm asking is, and we know, understand, the most important thing the Bible says is that you dress morally, that you dress in a modest apparel. That's what the Bible says. I'm not one of these sticklers on that, a woman, you know, when these girls, if they want to play a softball today, that they have to play softball in a dress. That's dumb. That's dumb. Amen. You going to slide in the first base in a dress? I hope not. You know, wear some pants so you're decent. Amen.
Well, I don't think it's right for a woman to wear pants.
Well, why not? Well, that's men's clothing.
Really?
Okay, then if we go to the store, would you put on a lady's pair of pants? It's men's clothing, isn't it? You see, the somebody ain't thinking. They haven't thought that through. They heard somebody preach something and it sounded good. Come on now. You know, just ask the Lord. Pray about what you're going to wear. Do you? Do you? Do you pray about, Lord, what should I wear? Lord, I'm going to church, or Lord, I'm going here, or Lord, I'm going there. Lord, what should I wear? What would be pleasing to your sight to put on? See, you're only getting quiet on me. I knew this would happen. I don't know why. The Lord, it seems to be concerned about it. We should be, right? And like I said, I'd rather have you here, you know, dressed in anything, dressed in something, amen, but I'd rather have you here than not. Praise the Lord. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying we don't want you here. All I'm saying is we need to give credence to those things. Remember, what's the first thing that happened after Adam and Eve sinned? What did they do? They clothed themselves on what they wanted to wear. What's the first thing God had to do when He straightened them out? When I got saved, you know what happened? The Lord started getting on me about what I was wearing. He never did before. I never worried about it before I was a Christian. But after I was a Christian, I started thinking about those things. That's good to think about those things. You see? You ought to look these. I know I've done it today, and it's the fifth Sunday, and some of you wore stuff because you know you were going to have to play softball today, and so you kind of dressed down, and here I am preaching. That's all right. Amen. I'm not picking on you for that at all. That's not where I'm going with this, so don't you know, get a complex and think I'm picking on you. I'm not. But what I am saying, brother, I've been to funerals and weddings down here in southern Alabama. Lord help. I've been to funerals where people come in jeans and t-shirts. I've been to weddings where they come in cutoffs and flip-flops. To a wedding. Listen. I'm not trying to be mean. But I'm telling you right now, you're just as well coming into a place like that with a big neon sign around you that says, "Hi, I'm white trash. Nice to meet you." I'm not trying to be mean, but that's what you're saying. And God's children should be associated with trash. That's all. You're God's child. Let people know it. Don't be ashamed of it. Jesus is on the inside. That ought to come out. See? That ought to come out. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying. I'm not trying to be too mean about any of that. Look. Hold your place there in Luke. Look in Jude, right before the book of Revelation. You got that little one chapter book of Jude. Well, we're still on the first point here. Good night. All right. Well, praise the Lord. Jude. I didn't want to be this long on this here, but I'm just... All right, Lord. Jude, verse 4. For there are certain men, crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation. Ungodly men. You know what they're doing? Turning the grace of our God. Are you saved by grace? Are you going to heaven? Is it all because of God's mercy? Turning the grace of our God into what? Lasciviousness. What's that? It's lasciviousness. It's looseness. It's looseness. See? Turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness. Loose. Loose living. Loose dressing. You see what I'm talking about? You know what's happened in our churches? You get in the average church today, brother, you go in a lot of these churches today, and the pastor's coming up in jeans and t-shirt. With earrings in his ear. Or in her ears. Whatever. Amen. Or he's getting up in his golf shirt, you know. And doing his 15-minute talk. What is that? That's lasciviousness. You know what it is? It's promoting looseness towards the things of God. And we should esteem the things of God highly. Our God's holy. The Lord ought to be precious to you. Amen. How come is it you'll dress up for other things, but you won't dress up for the Lord? You'll dress up for that job interview. You can't dress up for the Lord. That's all I'm saying, see? And I'm not. All I'm telling you, get with God and you dress the way the Lord wants you to dress. Is that fair? But that's not what some of you are doing. I've had people say that. Well, I'm just going to dress the way the Lord. The Lord said I could wear jeans and t-shirt. I said, well, I'll tell you what. Would you just wear a button-down shirt and maybe a tie next week and I'll give you $200? Really? $200? Yeah, $200. All right, I'll do it for $200. I said, so you'll do it for $200, but you won't do it for the Lord? I thought you had a conviction. Uh-huh. Amen. Come on. You know what that is? That shows you where they're really, what they're really putting first. It ain't the Lord. It's what they want. It's what they like. What I like. I'm so tired of that. I thought you were a Christian. Where would the term I like come into being a Christian? Does that look like something that you're supposed to like? I thought you were bearing a cross. I like. Really? Well, I like my cross gray. I like mine gold. I like my cross with... What is that? That's not Christianity, brethren. That's not Christianity. All I'm saying is get with the Lord and dress the way the Lord wants you to dress. That's all. I'm not trying to be mean about this thing. I'm telling you this right now, though. It's sad that you've got golf courses that have higher dress standards than some churches. I start my new job on Tuesday. Praise God. You think I'm going to show up in jeans and t-shirt? No. Veterans Administration, representing the state of Alabama, you know what they expect? A suit coat, a tie, a dress shirt, and dress pants, and dress shoes. Yes, sir. And then casual Fridays, you don't have to wear the tie. Praise God. That's to represent the state. And who do we represent? See? I've never had anybody come up to Pastor Ray and say, now, Pastor, this is how way we think you need to start dressing for church. The church members have been coming. I've never had to have anybody do that. I've always just dressed the way the Lord wanted me to dress. That's all. That's all I expect from anybody. Now, I've seen some Christians overdo it. Amen. Now, I don't know where we're getting off in all this, but praise God. Get it over with. Amen. I've seen Christians overdo it. You know what I'm saying? Overdo it. In other words, you know them because how overdressed they always are. You know the guy that's got the cowboy boots and the big Stetson hat and the buckle like this, and you know he just wants kind of struts in and wants everybody to notice what he looks like, or he's wearing some pimp outfit or something like that. You know, some lady with a hat with fruit all over it and everything else hanging down, and earrings down to the feet, and I want people to say, well, how does your pastor dress? And you'd be able to say, he dresses nice. But that's it. You know? He had an Armani suit. And it was just, no, we ain't going there. Amen? You can overdo it, see? So the whole thing is, like I said, just get with the Lord. But it's obvious, listen, the Lord is interested in what you wear. And He let us know that we can identify our enemies by the things that they wear. Amen. I read that thing in James. I know what he's talking about, where he talks about gay apparel. You ever read that thing? You know what I always think about? Benny Hinn. Gay apparel. You know, he's got that little white suit on. You ever see me come in here with something like that? Would you please slap me? My. You see some of the things, some of those weirdos on TV, you know? The crouches, or whatever they are, couches, whoever they are, that, you know, her hair out like this, and all the makeup on, and you kiss her, you die of arsenic poisoning from all that. Yeah, say, what is that? That's a little overdone, you know what I mean? That stuff, and that's just all that look at me stuff. No difference. There's a cult out there. They got special underwear that you're supposed to wear. That's going too far. I'm sorry. You'll never hear me preaching on what underwear you're supposed to be wearing. Amen? I just hope you're wearing some. Praise God. That's good enough for me. Amen. All right, let's move on. Look back there in Luke chapter 20. And the Lord says in verse 46, beware of the scribes which desire to walk in long robes. Boy, I like that big, colorful robe and all. They make themselves out to be something and somebody. They ain't nothing. Notice what else he warns about here. Beware of the scribes which desire to walk in long robes and, look at this, love greetings in the markets. Hold your place there. Look with me in Matthew. What's he talking about, those greetings? Matthew chapter 23. And in Matthew 23, a correlating passage, the Lord goes into much more detail, or Matthew does, on what the Lord had to say here. Look in Matthew chapter 23, beginning in verse 7. And greetings in the markets, and to be called of men. See, he's talking about those greetings. They love those greetings. Be called of men, Rabbi, Rabbi. But be ye not called Rabbi, for one is your master, even Christ. So what does Rabbi mean?
Master.
Master, okay. And ye are all brethren. You get that? What's that mean? We're all brethren. So why do you have these special elongated titles for some people? And call no man your what? In reference to what? A religious leader. See that thing? That's the context. Call no man what? Then why do you got religions where that's the title that they use for their quote-unquote ministers? Why would you call yourself a father when Jesus said don't? You know what the Lord done? He just warned you about his enemies. That's not the friends of Jesus that do that. That's the enemies of Jesus Christ. If that offends you, sorry, but there it is. There's the Bible. Take it up with Jesus Christ. I didn't write the Bible. Neither be ye called masters, for one is your master, even Christ. And he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. See? There you go. What are they wanting? They're wanting these special titles like they're somebody, they're something. I hear this one a lot. He's a. You ready for this one? He's a man of the cloth. What is that, a man of cloth? I just got my pants back from the tailor. That's a man of the cloth. Amen? As far as I'm concerned. Amen. Man of the... Where'd you get that from? Man of the cloth. What a thing. What a joke. They got clergy. Do y'all know what the word clergy means or where it comes from? It's a French word. And it means one who holds the office of a priest. See that thing? See how that thing's tied in? Why they want to call you clergy and all that? Make a special thing, see, for the preacher. The Bible says we're all priests. The Bible says we're all brethren. The Bible says we're all saints. Now, we understand as the bishop of the church, which is the office that I'm in, the bishop of the church, that there's, that's a special office that God calls people to, but that's so that we can teach and preach the Bible. That's it. We don't have authority over you whether or not you get into heaven. And that's what they teach. They teach that you've got to go through that priest or you've got to go through that person. And if they let you in, you get in. And if they don't let you into heaven, you don't get in. No, no, that's the Lord. You don't have to come to me to pray and get a hold of God. You can pray and get a hold of God. You're just as much a priest as I can. Amen? As I am. Now here's another one that really gets my goat. Hold your place there in Luke chapter 20. I'm having a good time this morning just getting some things off my chest. But look here in Psalm 111, and this one I just can't stand. You can call me, listen, call me pastor if you want. I've never pushed that thing. And I know some guys that do. And all my pastors, I called pastor just out of respect, but and they never pushed it. You call me Brother Ray. Amen. That's fine. Don't call me late for dinner. Amen. And I've been called a lot worse, so Brother Ray is good for me. Amen. I'll call you brother or sister your name, and you call me brother my name. We can get along fine. I don't have a problem with that. You call me pastor if the Lord puts that on your heart. I don't have a problem with that. But beyond that, that's where it stops. Amen. That's where it stops. Look at this one here. Psalm 111. You ready? Psalm 111 and verse 9. Look at it with me, verse 9. Psalm 111 and verse 9. He sent redemption unto his people. He hath commanded his covenant forever. Holy and reverend is his name. Whose name? That's God's name. Only time that word shows up in the Bible. Right there. And reverend is God's name. I'm not Reverend Ray. Amen. I've heard people joke and say that's fine and they want to laugh about that. But listen, I'm not Reverend Williamson. I'm not Reverend Ray. I'm not Reverend nothing. He's Reverend. God's Reverend. That'd be like you having to call me Holy Father. Huh? Oh yeah. There's a group out there, they've got a Holy Father. I've got a Holy Father. He's sitting up in heaven right now. That's my Holy Father. Wait, what do you think about some person that wants to take that name unto themselves? Huh? See, the Lord says, you watch by the greetings they want to be called. You can find out who the enemies of the Lord are just by that, just by how they want to be called. Look back there with me now in Luke chapter 20. Luke chapter 20. Please don't associate me with the enemies of God. Please. Or Brother Orlando, bless his heart, he was trying to get on a mission board and he had trying to get a meeting with this one church and he was talking to this pastor and wasn't seeming to get anywhere. So anyway, I got on the phone with him. And he said, hold on, you can talk to my pastor. So I got on the phone and I said, yeah, this is Brother A. He said, Pastor, this is Dr. And he said it just like that, you know. This is Dr. Morganhead or whatever his name was, you know. This is Dr. Like I was supposed to be impressed, you know. Oh, you're a doctor. Wow, I'm just a regular preacher. And you know, here you are, a doctor. I mean, I'm honored to have this opportunity to talk to you, and you know, I just say, "Hey, brother, how you doing? Good to talk to you. What's going on?" Listen, you want to get a doctorate degree? The Lord leads you to get a doctorate degree. Get a doctorate degree. But when you got to introduce yourself to somebody and make sure they know, you know, the Bible says men of high degree are a lie. How about that one? Amen. Doctor, really? You want that? That's what the Bible says. Men of high degree are a lie. You don't need to be no doctor. I'm still trying to make it through, you know, through being an itinerant EMT right now. You know, on my way up to physician assistant maybe or nurse. I haven't quite made it to doctor yet. Amen. But this whole doctor thing and all these big titles, you better watch that stuff. Better watch that stuff. You know what you're doing when you do that? You're associating yourself with the enemies of the Lord. I don't want to be associated with that. Amen. Brother Ray's good. Pastor Ray's fine. Dad's good. Amen. Or my wife, you know, Lord, that's fine. All right, back in Luke, I better move on quickly. Luke chapter 20. Or it's going to be mud? All right. Luke chapter 20, verse 46. Beware of the scribes which desire to walk in long robes. Number one. Love greetings in the markets. Number two, better watch that. And also, watch this now, and the highest seats in the synagogues and the chief rooms at the feast. Oh, they want the box seats. They want those high places of honor. You know. And so he comes into his glass cathedral with his robes and says like that, and everybody's supposed to honor this great man of God. Oh, please. You think that's John the Baptist when he was out there eating grasshopper sandwiches and preaching the Word of God in the wilderness with a leather girdle on? That's God's man. Huh? How about that? Now look in Revelation chapter 2. Here's the warning. These fellows, they want to be exalted. The Bible says, he that exalts himself shall be abased. Bible says, beware and take heed when all men speak well of you. As a Christian, I personally, and you can take this any way you want, I don't care. It don't mean anything to me. I know I'm telling the truth. But I would personally rather be abased. I would personally rather to continue to be falsely accused and lied about and smeared and persecuted and ridiculed. I'd much rather be there than to be in a place where everybody was honoring and praising me and exalting my name as the best thing since sliced bread. Amen. I'd much rather be there. To me, that's a closer place with Jesus Christ. That's a more endearing place to the cross. Amen. I'll sit right there and stay right there. Thank you very much. But this whole, look at me, I'm exalted. What is that? It's called a narcissist. That's what it's called. Amen. Someone that thinks too highly of themselves. Notice what God thinks of this now. Let's get God's opinion. Well, we already had it from the Lord there, but let's look again here in Revelation chapter 2 as he's speaking to the church. Revelation 2, notice what he has to say about the church of Ephesus in verse 6. But this thou hast, that thou hatest. This is Christians supposed to hate? What? Oh, yeah. Thou hatest what? The deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. The Lord says, you hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans, and so do I. How about that? He says it to another church. Look down there at the church of Pergamos, verse 15. Verse 15. So hast thou also them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which thing I hate. God hates it. What's Nicolaitanism? Nico, that's the rulers. Laitanism, that's the laity, that's the people. And what you've got in a lot of these religions that are out there, you've got this special ruling class over the people, over the serfs. See, and you can't know God. You can't have a relationship with God. If you want anything from God, you have to come through me. That's Nicolaitanism. And you know what the Lord said? That's his enemies. You know what the Lord said? He hates it. He hates it. That narcissistic self-exaltation, like you're someone special, you know. Brethren, when I go to the grocery store, I don't tell people there, this is Reverend Williamson, could you do me a favor? I don't never do that stuff. Never. Nobody knows where I go somewhere if I'm a preacher or not, unless they ask me, then I'll tell them. I don't go around holding that thing up like that makes me somebody, you know, or I deserve a special place in line, you know. Can you imagine going to a baseball, Atlanta Braves baseball game and saying, yes, could I have a special box seat? I'm Pastor Williamson. Do you realize in a lot of your South American countries and over in Europe, they do that stuff? Over there in Ukraine, in Russia, where Brother Perry Demopoulos is at, they do that stuff with them Orthodox. Those guys, they get the special attention. They get the special deals. Oh, yeah. And that stuff isn't right. That stuff isn't right. There's probably a couple of tickets. Not that I've gotten any recently. But there's probably a couple tickets back in my old days, before I got right, where I probably could have gotten out of some tickets if I had just told the police officer that, oh, well, yeah, I was on my on my way to my congregation, because I'm a preacher of the gospel, and so I was in rather of a hurry. So just so you know that, you know, I've seen guys do that, try to get out of a ticket or something, you know. Now, I had one time where the guy pulled me over, he came up, and he asked me, he said, did you see the stop sign? I said, no, I didn't. And I didn't. And so I went through the stop sign. And he says, well, I'll have to give you a ticket because you got to stop there. I said, all right, I understand. And he left, and as he went about halfway to his car, and he stopped. And he turned around, and he came back to the car, and he said, by the way, what do you do for a living? Now, why would he ask that? Isn't that weird? I said, well, I'm the pastor of Seminole First Baptist Church. I was heading there. Oh, okay, well, preacher, just make sure you stop at that sign from now on. You can go on your way. I said, all right, praise the Lord, thank you. Amen, thank God. But he had asked me, see? And I don't like all that, you know, I'm somebody... special stuff. I don't get into all that. I'm a sinner saved by the grace of God just like you are, and so is any other preacher. And these guys that want to put themselves, you know what the Lord said? That's his enemies. That's the ones you better watch out for, because if you're a friend of Jesus Christ, they'll be your enemy too. That's why the Lord's warning them. That's why he's telling them about it. One more and we'll be done. Look back there in Luke chapter 20. We'll finish up here so we can go eat and then beat the boys home in softball. All right. Luke. Luke chapter 20 and verse 46. Beware of the scribes, which desire to walk in long robes, love greetings in the markets, and the highest seats in the synagogue, and the chief rooms at feasts. Now watch this. Which devour widows' houses, and for a show make long prayers. Devour widows' houses, and for a show make long prayers. You got some religions out there that teach there's a purgatory. Now, purgatory is one of those words you can spell two different ways. You can spell it P-U-R-G-A-T-O-R-Y, or you can spell it A-J-O-K-E. Amen. Because it's a joke. There ain't no such thing as purgatory in the Bible. No such thing. But you know what some do? They teach purgatory. But guess what? Your husband, old lady, your husband that passed away, we can get him out of purgatory. we can make special prayers for him. And all you need to do, you're getting that check every month, right? From his life insurance? You just give us enough of that and we'll pray for him. And get, you know what, Martin Luther, that was one of the things he had the biggest problem with the Roman Catholic Church. He said if a church had the power to do that out of love, why wouldn't they just do it and get everybody out? See that bondage thing? You know what that is? That's the enemies of Jesus Christ. You know what that is? As people taking advantage of people for a buck, for a show, make long prayers. Oh, he prayed for me. You know, I got this testimony of this fellow. He's a preacher. And he's got cerebral palsy. You know what he used to do when he was young? Go to Benny Hinn crusades to try to get in, to try to get up where he could get healed. For some reason, he never made it onto the stage. Or the mama with her little girl that had an incurable disease and she tried to get her daughter, couldn't get her up there. But the lady with the sore toe and the arthritis and the diabetes that you can't see, how come they never have anybody missing a leg go up there? Jesus healed the lame and he healed the maimed. The maimed. How come you don't have somebody with an arm without an arm go up there and have their arm put on? You know why? Because they're a bunch of fakes, they're a bunch of liars, and they're ripping people off of their money and probably damning their souls at the same time. Oh, I don't think it's right to speak against other people's... I think it's perfectly right to speak against the enemies of Jesus Christ, because that's who they are. That's who they are. That's the enemies of the Lord. Take advantage of somebody like that. I believe God heals. And if there's somebody that's hurt, somebody that needs healing, I'm going to pray for them and I'm going to ask God to do a miracle. And you can pray for them. And you can pray for them. And we don't need no special anointed person to come up. What is all that? You know what that is? That's an enemy of Jesus Christ. That's what it is. That's exactly what it is. Look what he says in 2 Peter, I'm sorry, near the end of your Bible. 1 and 2 Peter, 1, 2, 3 John, Jude, Revelation. So 2 Peter, if that helps. It's right after 1 Peter. Does that help? Which is weird, the way that happens in the Bible. All right. 2 Peter. Anybody here ever heard of Trey Smith? Check him out sometime, YouTube, Trey Smith. You know what he does? He does all the exposés. He started with Mike Murdoch. He robbed his safe. Ended up in jail. Mike Murdoch was one of those old charismatic preachers on TV. He went in and stole his safe to show everybody what a swindler he was. He's done these exposés on Benny Hinn and all these guys. Shows out. Here's Benny Hinn with his $85 million home right there on the Pacific coast. And I mean a mansion, buddy. That's one of his homes. Begging for people in South America to send him some money. That dude makes over $200 million a year. And he don't want for nothing. Went out there messing up the suckers. That's all he's doing. And they know. They know how to take advantage of people. They know how to work them. They know how to work their conscience and deal with them and make them feel guilty and get them into their grasp, buddy, and get a hold of them. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 1, but there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. You'll find all those characters end up preaching that prosperity gospel, which is out of the pit of hell. And that prosperity gospel is God just wants you healthy and He wants you rich and He just wants everything perfect in your life. And if you're not, it's because you're not giving enough money. And if you get more money, then you'll get more money and you'll be prosperous. If you plant your seed of faith, you know, I had the holiness preacher. He came over one day and he said, the Lord put on my heart to give you $100 and to plant my seed of faith for this church. I said, well, praise the Lord, brother. Thank you very much. And amen. Had good lunch. Now, do what he wants, you know. But the Bible says, the thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life. And these people are stealing from people. They're stealing their hopes. They're stealing their money, and they sure are stealing the testimony of the Christian church today. That's what they've done. Amen. Look what he says, verse 2, "And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of." Well, you know how those Christians are. You know why they say that stuff? Because they watch them clowns on television. Amen, amen. Bunch of thieves. Verse 3. Now, I know if it's your first time in church or whatever, you're not here, you're not used to hearing real preaching. Sorry. Here it is. It's just straight over the plate, blunt. I know you haven't heard it before. Get used to it. Keep coming back. You'll love it. All right, verse 3. "And through covetousness shall they with" what? Feigned words. Through what? What's their motive? Covetousness. That's it. There's your false teachers. That's what it's all about. It's all about that dollar bill. "Through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation," "their judgment lingereth not." It's coming. It's coming. Look what the Lord said. Look what the Lord said back in Luke 20. The Bible says these are they which creep into houses. And they're creeping in the cable. They're creeping in through the satellite. They're creeping in through the black box. They're creeping in through the computer line. And they're creeping in because they're creeps. Amen. And they're thieves. And the Bible says in verse 47, "which devour widows' houses." How many of those widows are out there thinking, "I'm going to get healed if I send them my Social Security check"? They ain't got no money to begin with. And these guys got millions of dollars. Having those poor ladies send money in. Because they're going to plant their seed faith. They're going to plant their... And they're so... The Bible says that those silly women are ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. You ain't never going to learn nothing about the Bible watching Christian television. Stop it. Ask God to give you some sense. I love you. I ain't your enemy. I want you to learn the Bible. You sure ain't going to learn it watching that junk. Amen. There may be a few good things on, I'm not saying that, but you best be careful. You better watch out for what the Lord said to watch out for. You better mark down His enemies and realize if they're the enemies of Jesus Christ, they ain't your friend. They're your enemy too. "Which devour widows' houses and for a show make long prayers. The same shall receive greater damnation." So you believe in degrees of hell? Yeah. According to Jesus Christ. I don't know what it is. But the enemies of Jesus Christ, they get it the worst. I just believe the Lord. I don't know what that means. The Bible does talk about the lowest hell. I don't know what that means. But there's a greater damnation. You know what that means? It's all going to get fixed one day. And we're going to find out who the Lord's friends were and who the Lord's enemies were. Amen. It'll all come out one day. You see it. Greater. You know what that means? Payday's coming. You know the biggest lie that the devil, has, the god of this world, the devil has sold to this world? He's told this world that the enemies of Jesus Christ that we've been talking about today are the actual Christians. This world thinks those Pentecostal nuts on television and the Roman Catholic Pope and the fathers and the priests, they say, "Well, Christian, we were killing people long ago." No, we weren't. We were never killing anybody. You never heard of a Baptist going to war with anybody. We just preach the truth and stand on the truth. We don't hurt nobody. Never have, never will. Who does that? The Roman Catholic Church did it for 1,500 years. That's who did it. You know what they say? "Well, that was the Christians." That ain't Christians. They're no more Christians than the dog catcher's a Christian. Just because he's a dog catcher. They're not Christians. Well, they use a name. That doesn't mean anything. There's lots of guys in Puerto Rico called Jesus. Doesn't make them Jesus. Amen. Amen, amen. Okay. And the thing is, what the devil's done is he turned all that around. When people see Christianity today, you know what they see? They see that stuff. That's why they don't want anything to do with it. That's why they're going to end up going to hell. Say, who's sending those people to hell? The enemies of Jesus Christ. What you need to realize is that's the enemies of Jesus Christ are not the Christians. There are real Christians. We got them in this room. There's people here that really believe that Jesus Christ came to this world to die for their sins, was buried, and rose again. They've trusted Him as their Savior. And they're saved. And there's only three groups of people. Who are they? There's the saved, there's the lost, and there's the enemies. Now, nobody should be offended today of anything I've said. Unless you're one of His enemies. And if you're one of His enemies, good. I hope I got you good. I hope I got you. Amen, amen. But that's all I can do is preach against you. And then pray for you. And love you. Because that's how we treat our enemies. Amen. But maybe you're not an enemy. But maybe you're not saved. You might be lost. So what does that mean? You've been trying to be a good person. And you've had your problems in life and all that. And you believe that Jesus came into the world. And you believe the Bible is probably the Word of God. But you have never, ever had a personal run-in with Jesus Christ. I mean, you and Him. Where you are born again. Only Jesus Christ can give you new birth. I can't do that for you. This church can't do that for you. But there's a living Savior. I'm not talking about dead religion here. I'm talking about a living Savior. He can give you eternal life. He says, whosoever will, let him come. Take the water of life freely. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. And then He says, you will not come to Me that you might have life. It's not religion that will get you to heaven. It sure isn't the enemies of the Lord that will get you to heaven. It's Jesus Christ that can get you to heaven. Have you ever been born again by putting your faith and trust in Him? Trusting Him. When you'll trust Him, then you'll be more than just lost. You'll be more than just saved. You'll be what the Bible calls a friend of God. The Bible says Abraham was a friend of God. And God wants you to be His friend. He wants you on His side. But that can't happen until you acknowledge that you've offended God because of your sin. And because of that, the Bible says you are God's enemy. But His desire is reconciliation. He wants to make up. You know how He offered opportunity to make up? Right there. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish. God offers reconciliation. God offers an opportunity for you and Him to be friends forever. And He's taken the first step. He's gone above and beyond to try to make things right with you. But outside of Christ, there's no way to be reconciled to God. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by Me. And so as we close today, I want you to consider that. Now, we give out our bulletins.